We're going to hear now from Joel Hall. I'm privileged to have known his great grandparents. I know his grandparents, and I know his parents, and I know him. And God is faithful to all generations. So, Joel, thank you for sharing this morning. We just turned it over to you, and our hearts are full, and we're just ready to hear what the Lord has put on your heart.
Thank you, Chuck. Pulled out my old mic, and I haven't used it for a while, so we're good. It's too bad we couldn't be in the building together, but as the ice calls, we don't want to go out on our porches. So that makes it pretty hard to get outside. So here we are. God is just as faithful and can listen and hear and be with us, even if we're over a screen. And I think we all experienced that and learned that over all the COVID adventure. So in one way or another, people were on Zoom here and there. Thank you, Lord, that you can speak through screens. Yeah, I'd like to start by praying today and committing this time to the Lord, to listening to him, to what he has to say to us. Lord, we praise you. We thank you that, like I said, even though we're separated and sitting in different places, that you can still speak and be with us in a group, as a community, as one, as a body. Thank you for your life, your light, the life and light that you bring and you give through cold days and through dark times. We thank you that your love and your peace just overshines everything that that we're walking through, that's going on in our midst, in the economy, in the world, in our country. And we thank you, Lord, that we can be reminded of you every single day. Amen. So I'd like to start off by sort of updating everybody about what me and Nava were up to. And we've been gone for 3 weeks. We got back on the Saturday in the evening last weekend. So we've been gone from church for 3 weeks. I was about to have a double whammy of worship and speaking today. So I got a little bit of a break, but we had an amazing time in Costa Rica. And it's actually quite related to what I'm going to speak on today, which is God being a light in the darkness and us being able to show that light to others. When we went down to Costa Rica, that was our experience. Sam and Chloe have been my brother and sister-in-law, have been down there for the last 2 months with their main goal of spreading light to Costa Rica and to the indigenous communities, and especially to a group of people in a community we have been in for 20 years called Dominical. And there's been some pretty big things spoken over that area, like our friends Tim and Linda, who have been to WCC once or twice, said that they saw a big grouping of angels surrounding the town, ready to break in. And Sam said that he had seen a crack in a dam when he was praying, and that there's a flood going to be released into that area soon. So we thank the Lord for what he's been speaking and to bring light into that place of very, very many different religions. Yeah, so that's what we were up to. We were enjoying our time and trying to help Sam and Chloe bring light into that dark place. And I think we did a little bit, and I'm excited to hear and see and keep praying for them about what's next, because they're there for another month still. Now, I'd like to step into the reason I spoke about Costa Rica and what we're going to speak to today, and that is bringing light in the darkness. Okay, so light in the darkness. Where does your light come from? God is our light, and I want to focus on John 8:12. And I do have other verses that speak to this, but I'd like to focus here for the start. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And there's so many verses that speak towards God being our light and God being the light of the world and God speaking light into the world and God being light in general. And there's verses about shining on us, and there's verses about him just bringing his peace and his direction and being the light to our feet. And all these verses are focusing on the point that the Lord is showing us which way to go. And in Exodus, there's the pillar of fire that's leading them through the wilderness. So God over and over and over and over again shows himself as a light to guide us, as himself being a light, as himself moving forward in front of us and showing us his light. And when I was laying in bed in Costa Rica trying to figure out what to share this Sunday, I had this epiphany. And it's funny because you think, oh, I should ask God what the church needs to hear, instead of like just going through my daily devotions and reading through James and being like, oh, wow, should really talk about this. This is a good point. And then not knowing what to do. And then I was laying in my bed in the morning and Nava was asleep beside me. And I was like, Lord, what should I speak about? What does the church need to hear? And he said, light in the darkness. And then I really was thankful that Chuck started this morning off with telling everybody that we are made for a different place than the world. We are made to bring the kingdom of God into this world and to separate ourselves from everything else going on and all the other people and things. And that is really what my heart is for today, and to share that in a few different ways. But to know that Jesus, that God, the one that saved us, the one that died on the cross, the one that led all the Israelites through the desert, the one that came in a pillar of fire and a bush of fire in front of here and there and everywhere. I really want everybody to know that Jesus is a light to us. God is a light to us. The Holy Spirit is a light to us. That if we ever feel like we're in darkness, if we're walking in a place where we feel like we don't have any light, all we have to do is call upon him, call upon Jesus, and light will be brought to us. And we can use that light to bring that to other people, to show other people what light we have, that God is our light. And not only non-Christians need to know that, but Christians need to know that. People walking in different denominations, walking in different walks of life, people who have stepped aside for a little while and you see that, you need to share with them. You need to go to them and show them that God is still a light in your life, that God is still a light to everybody around you and to yourself, because testimonies and sharing things to one another are some of the best ways to share God. And if you're walking out on the street and you see somebody and you want to talk to them, sometimes a testimony to them, something that they'll share for years and years and years and years, is you just saying, you look good today. That's it. The people have been saved from trying to commit suicide by people walking up to them in a grocery store and smiling. And that's it. You just smile. You bring your light. You bring the light that God has given us. And that moves on to my next verse, that we are a light through him, in Matthew 5, 14, 16. You are a light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And that is so, 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 so important, because sometimes we do put ourselves under this, what do they call it here? Under a bowl. I know it's a bowl in this verse. Do you want to hide under a bowl? Do you think that feels comfortable? Do you think being under a bowl is fun? Like, I don't think my bowls even cover my whole head. I don't think it's even possible. So why do we feel like we're in a bowl all the time, when the bowls that we have in our house don't even cover us? It's impossible for us to not show our light when we are reborn and renewed in Christ. It's impossible, because you can walk around. I have a story from when I was in Australia. We were walking and doing evangelism with my YWAM group, and there's a Norwegian guy. His name was Olai. He's like a big teddy bear. He's super tall. And I don't remember who was in his group, but one of the biggest things that stood out to me, at least in Australia, which I haven't actually seen or heard of around here, but I'm sure it's happened. They walked up to somebody who was in an alleyway, and as soon as they got anywhere close, he said, "Don't come near me. You follow Jesus," or something like that. I don't remember exactly what the guy said, but he knew the spiritual realm in some sort of way to look at them without them saying any words to him, to know that they were following Jesus. And I can only imagine what they might have looked like. Like, I don't know what we look like to people who are in darkness, who are hiding, who are under this proverbial bowl. But even if we're not sharing our light, people can still see it. And they don't always say it. They don't always mention it. But it doesn't mean that it's not there. And I think it's really important to know that even if you don't feel good that day, that you walking around and you making yourself available and you praying and you putting effort into being with God in some way is going to show everybody around you in one way or another a different side of the world that they don't necessarily experience, because the world that we're living in right now is very, very, very focused on darkness. It's focused on distractions. It's focused on sin. It's focused on getting, even some denominations are very focused on like getting away from sin and being, and like everything is about sin. We need things to be about Jesus. We need things to be about the one who brings us light, about the one who shows us light, about the one that we read about in the Bible, the whole Bible is about. And I pray that everybody seeks Jesus, not just struggles. Because when we seek Jesus, we find light, we find peace, we find hope, we find love, we find goodness, and we find rest. And I hope and I pray that we all seek for Jesus. How do we be the light through Jesus? And James 1, 12, 18. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chooses to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be kind of first fruits of all he created. So I want to point out a couple things in there. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me." God does not tempt us. God did not bring darkness upon us. God does not make us struggle in a way of evil. God does like to give us some challenges and to walk us through things, but we don't look at that challenge as, "Oh, God's trying to stumble me. He's trying to make me screw up and make me mess up." And then when you give in, you're like, "Oh, well, I guess God caused me to do that." Like, no, he doesn't do that. God does not do that. God puts us into situations where we would go to him to be able to break out. It's not, "God put me in this situation so I would fail." That's not how it works. God is a bringer of light. God is a bringer of goodness. God is a bringer of justice. And to take that justice upon ourselves, to look at it this way, if you think that you doing something is God causing that in you, then you are judging God. You're saying, "God, I feel like you did this to me, and you're the one, and that's it. And now I have a problem with you." And so many people get stuck in this place of, "I have a problem with Jesus, and he hurt me, or he hurt my family, or he hurt people around me, or he hurt this, that, or the other thing." But just by reading this verse here, when tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. God is not bringing you into that situation to be tempted. And to we should really, really, really focus on looking to Jesus in any situation, and looking to Jesus to be our savior and not to be our tempter, and to know that the devil is the one that is tempting, not Jesus. And then in that, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. God does not change his goal. God is not one day going to be like, I don't want to be the light anymore. I'm going to tempt you and I'm going to be the darkness now. No, God doesn't do that. God doesn't change. God doesn't adjust himself to be something else. He is constant. He has a set of rules that he's made for himself, and he follows them. And they've been made thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, depending on who you are and what you believe and where the world started. And it could be even longer than that. We don't know. And he's never changed. We've definitely been able to, we see in the Bible, people will talk to him and be like, hey, so, you know, do you think you could save this group of people here and bring some light to them? You know, they seem to be in some darkness, but there's a little bit of light sprinkled in there. And some cities, some whole places wouldn't have been saved at all without people stepping out and being a difference and being a light in that community, in that city. And who knows, there might have been millions and millions of people, and there was only one family. Only one family was being that light on a hill. And the whole city was saved from that. So I want to encourage everybody that us being lights, us following the true light, us following Jesus' light, can change so much that we don't know. And another thing that's important, I'll go back to Sam and Chloe for a second here. When they're walking around Dominical in Costa Rica and they're doing their prayer walks, they might think that they're the only ones doing the prayer walk there. And they may think they're the only ones praying there. And you might feel, oh, I'm very alone. I'm the only one doing this here. And then you walk around the corner and there's a church, because there's a church in that area, and it's a Catholic church. And it doesn't matter what type of church, they're praying, they're worshiping Jesus, the Savior. And that place is now another light. So if we're walking around the city and we are walking and doing a prayer walk and we're like, oh, you know, we're probably the only people out here doing this, you know, why would we even do it? Like, because like we're the only ones. We need to be lights, and there's other lights around. God has called other people to be lights that we don't know about. And we need to be encouraged to go and meet those people and to join together and to make a community of light and to make a community of love. There's actually an event going on this Thursday that's trying to encourage evangelism that Hannah and Nava are going to go to. And I don't remember exactly what it's called. What was it called? 100K Harvest or something like that. And they're trying to encourage people in the city to share their testimonies, to share their walk with Jesus, to share their love of Jesus, to share their how they came to faith, to open up that light to other people instead of just keeping it to ourselves. Because we know, like I said, we know that people can see our light on a hill. We know that people can see us and know that we're different, but we need to also show that we're different. We don't just want people to look at us and that's be it. We need to show that we're different and go out and be those, like it says in verse 18, be the first fruits of all he created. To bring out our fruits, to show our fruits to other people, and to encourage and to build each other up. Romans 14:19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. We are to seek peace. We are to seek peace with one another. We are to seek peace with our fellow man, with our neighbors, with people around us. We're not to seek anger and to seek contempt and to be angry at one another when we make mistakes. Like, of course, there's forgiveness and there's moving through healing with people and even with God sometimes, but to have peace and to edify one another, to build each other up, to show encouragement, to be again that light to one another, and to visibly show that to each other is so important. And I have other resources here on how do we be light through Jesus. There's a whole ton of verses that people can take a picture of or ask for later. But there's so many examples of things that we can do for one another, to God, for God, to bring more and more light into the world of darkness that we're living in, and to bring that kingdom, to bring the Jesus's kingdom down onto earth, and to set ourselves apart and to move into that new place. There's so many verses in the Bible, and the whole Bible even is bringing us to the most important light, which is Jesus. And I pray that we don't get confused or brought away into trying to focus on things that aren't Jesus, to not focus on things, even in the Bible, that aren't Jesus. The whole Bible is bringing us to our Savior, is telling us stories of who Jesus is and why he came and why he's coming again. And that is the light. That is, the Bible is a story of light. And not only is Jesus the light, but Jesus brought light into the world. He spoke the sun to come over us to bring the first light. The light brought the light. So we can't get any more light than that. And if we need to show that light through ourselves, and there's so many resources in the Bible to bring us to know that Jesus is the light, to know that we show light through ourselves, and to be the light through Jesus to others. And I have a practical thing I'd like to do with everybody. Not everybody's got multiple people around, so you can do this with God. But I'd like to practice speaking life to ourselves and life to each other. So because of how sin works in our lives, because of how we make mistakes, if everybody could pray for a moment and ask Jesus if there's anything that he wants to speak to in their hearts, that they don't feel like they've been bringing light in any way, and for us to be encouraged by him and then to be encouraged by one another. You don't need to share what it is that you're struggling with if you don't want to. Some things are very deep and some things are very difficult, and they're not to be shared at certain times, and God will bring up the right moments. But if there is something you're really struggling with and there is encouragement that you need from one another or from God, I pray that we just spend a moment, and once you've listened and prayed, to just encourage one another and to feel encouragement from the Lord. If some people are willing, I'd like to hear either how you were encouraged or how you feel after being encouraged. And that could be whether it's from God or from whoever you're with. But I think it's important to share when we're happy, when we're joyful, when we've been given light. And that's the type of testimony to share with others. That even God made me feel really, really happy today. And then somebody's like, okay, why? What does that even mean? And then you get to share with them what Jesus is to you, and how you were encouraged and what you were talking about today or anything like that. So if anybody has something they'd like to share about how they're feeling after being encouraged, I'd love to hear it. And I think everybody else would be encouraged by that too.
I just want to say that one story you told about a smile, yeah, making a difference, I can remember my kids were really young and I was in a little town and I was feeling so heavy and so depressed. I drove out into the valley and I stopped at a restaurant or somewhere, I don't know where, maybe for a coffee. And a fella opened the door for me and it just washed over me in the most beautiful way. So I was thinking about your story and how I do that for others, you know? And so what happens is like our light affects people in such a way that they begin to even do things differently. You know, their whole responses change and
Pass the light on.
yeah, exactly.
I have a story from last night too. Of me and Nava were doing a prayer walk around our area. We decided to try and do prayer walks every day, just for the future and for things going on. And we passed by a Vietnamese Catholic church just right near us that we didn't know existed. And as we walked by, Nava said, I think we should pray to see if the Lord tells us anything. And I was like, all right, okay, let's do that. And I immediately saw fries, potato French fries, and what looked like the church and something that sort of looked like a McDonald's logo. So off we go in our car to McDonald's, and we bought fries and came back to the church. And as soon as we got to the door, somebody walked up and was like super excited that we had brought fries. It's super cute. So that's part of what I was sharing earlier about sharing our light with people who already have light from Jesus, to that we don't have to just share with people who don't know, but to share ourselves and to share our light with people in our community too is really important, to encourage one another.
Well, I've often wondered when I'm out, everybody smiles at me. And I thought, I didn't even smile at them first. And during COVID, I used to think sometimes you can see a smile in people's eyes. But I think after what you said, it's no, maybe they're seeing the Lord in me. But it's true. Everywhere I go, people are always smiling, maybe saying hello.
I think so.
Often I do smile and say hello, but then oftentimes when I don't, I go, oh, there's another one. Of course, I smile back.
I've heard a few stories of people glowing and they don't know that they are. And somebody's looking at them and they're glowing, and you can't really describe it. You can't really figure it out. So we don't know what other people are seeing on us and around us if they don't say anything. But who knows? Maybe you're glowing, Heather. A funny scientific thing is that it takes way, 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 way less muscles to smile than to frown. Our bodies were made to smile, and it puts less strain on us to be happy and to be joyful. And that is our best light that we can show to other people, is a smile. Even if you have to practice smiling, He made us for joy. He made us to bring joy to each other and to live with us in heaven, to be joyful together, to feast and to love and to be in community. And when somebody smiles at us, when somebody makes us feel seen, when God sees us in turn, it's so amazing. Thank you for that story. It's really, really, really encouraging. That's the best kind of sharing, is to share with each other the love and joy, and to not leave people high and dry when they ask for help. Just showing light in the first place.
Hi, it's Carol and Richard from Mattagami First Nations. We've been here for a little over 14 years now. We have a very small congregation, and a lot of times I feel like my light is sort of dimming out. And I really enjoyed Joel's message there this morning. Really touched our hearts, and Joel was sharing about the smile. And just sometimes just smiling at somebody really changes the atmosphere. And like I say, we don't have that many people at church. Well, right now we're not having church because Carl's recuperating from heart surgery. And anyway, I have one good report about a gentleman, a native fella. Well, I can just say that he's been drunk all his life, ever since he was a little boy. He was always drunk, always drinking. We sort of befriended him, and he comes to church and he doesn't say much. He repeats a story maybe five or six times when we see him in the morning. He said, "Yeah, I quit drinking all by myself, and I quit smoking all by myself." And it really encouraged me because he's become a good friend, and I try to visit him as often as I can there.
That's
But
amazing.
I really appreciated your word this morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I am encouraged by your encouragement. So I'm very appreciative for that. Do we have anybody else that has any stories or encouragement to share? If not, I'd love to pray and Well, thank you, everybody, for sharing. And thank you, Lord, for your light, for the light that you bring, for the light that you bring to Israel, the light that you bring to my heart, the light that you bring to everybody's heart here. Thank you for the encouragement that we have shared, for the stories that we have shared, for the testimonies that bring your light, that bring encouragement, that bring joy, and that bring peace. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your care of us or for us. I pray that we continue to bring light and show light and to smile, to bring our light in the most just simple and tangible way, to smile at people when we walk by. I pray right now in Israel that there's people smiling all over the place, that there's people smiling at one another. And I know this, they're in the middle of what seems to have been a war zone for years and years and years, but I pray, Lord, that people are smiling. And that something big is going to move and shift and change and bring your light down into that place and to all the people that are involved. Thank you, Lord, for your light over this world, the sun, for your son, Jesus. And we thank you that he is the ultimate light, the light that shines over everything and the light that shines through us when we don't know it and when we do and when we smile and when we thank and encourage each other. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your light. In Jesus' name, amen.